As we welcome in additional worshipers, we want to invite you to turn with us to the Gospel of St. Matthew. The Gospel of St. Matthew. Would you stand to your feet and turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of St. Matthew. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Once you've located that text, I want you to signify by saying amen. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. Let me know you've arrived there by saying amen. Amen. To God be the glory. The Bible reads as follows in verse 15, verse 1, chapter 15 of the first gospel in the New Testament. The Bible says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your mother and your father, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God," then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both into a ditch.' And Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and it is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.'" Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I want that you pray with me this morning on the title of this sermon, Matters of the Heart. Matters of the Heart. Let us pray together. Father, we ask now your blessings upon your word, that your word, which is a lamp unto our feet, and your word, which is a light unto our pathway. Father, bless your word, that it would not return void, but that somebody's heart might be encouraged, somebody's mind might be illuminated, somebody's soul, God, might be convicted today. Oh, have your way. You've already been here. You're already here. You've shown up through prayer, through worship, through songs of Zion. But now, God, I ask you, we need you to show up in proclamation. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I ask right now that your word will have its intended impact upon those who listen in the sanctuary and those who shall listen later by way of radio, by way of the internet. God, have your way, that as these words are spoken, that they would be received. We certainly will always give you glory, always give you praise, always give you honor. For God, you are worthy. You're worthy of our praise. We love you and we bless you now. And it is in the name of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer, that we pray. Let all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So I want to talk today about, ushers, you may be seated. I want to talk today about matters of the heart. Matters of the heart. Last Sunday was not only a powerful Sunday, obviously because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it was a Sunday in which, as I said to my deacons and members of this church, that the Lord prevailed upon me to do some alterations in what one sees up here in the pulpit area. So the fact that I, right, choosing to kind of elevate my own sense of ministry and push myself into a deeper sense of the word, I want to both symbolically and literally continue to communicate the power of the word, and that the more we hide it in our heart, amen, that the word, the more the word takes root in our spirits and in our souls. And so this change, if you would, has been, you know, overwhelmingly supportive by those of you who shared last Sunday and filling out those survey forms, and we praise God for your taking the time to do that. But it's really a bit bigger than that, right? It's bigger than whether there's a podium up here in the pulpit area or whether there are seats over to the left or over to the right. It's bigger than that. The discussion that ensued last week got into a very interesting conversation around tradition. Around tradition. And so the Lord, as I was prayerful about what he would have me to share today, the Lord said, listen, I want you to continue to use this as a teaching moment. Right? To use this as time for us to continue to push further, higher, deeper in the Lord. And tradition is one of those things that we in any church, I don't care if it's black or white, I don't care if it's, you know, I don't care if it's high church or so-called low church, I don't care if it's Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, Anglican, Episcopalian, Church of God in Christ, Church of God, you name it, right? Fact of the matter, well, you've got man and woman, and you've got at least a day or two behind man and woman, you usually going to have some kind of tradition. Because the fact of the matter is, tradition becomes a way in which we kind of anchor ourselves in processes and practices of our faith, but not only of our faith, of our culture, of our race, of our, you name it, gender. There are interesting traditions that we, who are people of faith, both in the church and outside of the church, continue to deal with. So the Lord laid these three words on my heart today, and I want to share them with you. The first one is the word how. The second one is the word hard. And the third one is the word heart. Right? How. And the how really reflects kind of the practice of how we do certain things, right? That how is this word that often gets interplay often gets between tradition. Because if you look at the definitions of the word tradition, I think there's four that I want to give you today. The first one is that tradition is defined, or at least before I get into the definitions, even the breakdown of the word tradition, put this word on the screen, that the word tradition comes from a Latin word, right? The Latin word which means trans, and then dare. And so that word tradere, the prefix of which is trans, the suffix of which is to give, trans over, transcontinental, over the land, trans, you know, whatever the trans might be. So it means over. And so over time, that which is given, right, becomes the way that the word tradition is defined. Dar, dare, the Latin word is also the interesting take of the Spanish word dar, which is the Spanish verb to give. And so when you are giving something over time, you're passing down things to those behind you or coming behind you to help them understand why you do what you do or the way you want it to be done. And so to transdare, to transmit, to translate, to transfer knowledge, practices, rationale, reasoning is this root word of tradition. And tradition is not bad. So let's be real clear about this. That tradition is not a negative thing. It is not a bad thing. And so when you see this word tradition, one just has to put it in its proper context. The definitions that are in most dictionaries are such. If you put the first definition up, it means the transmittal of elements of a culture from one generation to another, especially by oral communication. So the transmission of elements of a culture from one generation to another. In point of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says, when your sons and your daughters ask you the reasons why you do what you do, the reasons of the testimonies and the precepts and the judgments, tell them that you were once slaves in Egypt. Tell them God brought you out with a mighty and powerful hand, crossed you over the Red Sea, gave you water or gave you bread out of heaven, led you through the wilderness with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Don't forget to tell your children where they come from. That's part of what's going on in today's society, in today's generation. We have not transmitted, we have not transferred the meaning and the power of the symbols and the testimonies that they may know that it was God and only God that brought us from where we were to where we are. Come on, somebody. You weren't always where you are. You didn't always drive what you drive, live where you live, dress where you dress. No, God has brought you out from where you were to where you are. And you not only better thank God, but you better tell your children how you got there. Look at little Maris, little Daniel, little Olivia, little Noah, little Charlotte, little all my little children that I love to give hugs to and embrace to let them know that they are loved by somebody in addition to their mamas, daddies, grandmamas, granddaddies, whoever else in their families. But for my very own, I'm trying to help them understand daddy didn't start off the way you see daddy now. Right? Daddy came from somewhere. Daddy was once a young boy in South Central. They didn't have much. And so all that you see now, Amaris and Daniel, you better be thankful for how it got here. And there's always that fine line between giving them too much, right? Giving them stuff you didn't have, Deacon Revell, and yet spoil them for giving them too much. That they don't appreciate what you got. And how they got it. And so there is some sense then of transferal to give them the reasoning and the rationale over time for why we do what we do. Melanie wasn't always where she was. Her mom and daddy came from somewhere. And so together we talk about, we'll talk about, we'll continue to instill within these children, our children, the understanding of the testimonies that we have. So tradition is not bad. Right? The how is often is what we get caught up in as opposed to the why. Yeah, right? And so the transmission and the what we use in terms of the transmission often becomes the object of the transmission as opposed to the why and the testimony. And I want to push all of us today to not get caught up on the how, but to understand the why. And so we roll into another definition, right, of tradition, a mode of thought or behavior passed from one generation to another, customs and usages, behaviors and thoughts that are passed from one generation to another. Another definition is a body of unwritten religious precepts. Now this is interesting, that there is a religious statement in the definition of tradition. And that's not that surprising. Because I think even greater than race and culture, the construct of religion, right, is what we hold even tighter to. At least it should be. Before I'm a black man from South Central LA, that's not my main definition of who I am. I'm a child of God, right? That God has brought a mighty long way. And so before you define me, understand that the most important thing about me is who I am in my faith. Who I am in the Lord Jesus, and who I am. That's why, in some sense, the craziness of the pastor down in Florida that burned the Quran, that then ignited an outbreak of irrationality in the Middle East, because folk larger than even with their Syrian or Jordanian or Egyptian, they are more defined by their faith as Muslims. And so that dastardly act, I might add, of burning a holy book, I'm not surprised then unleashed what was unleashed. And so I hope that the most important thing about you is who you are in God. Amen, somebody? Not what you have on the outside. Not what you drive, where you live, what fraternity sorority you're a member of, what Masonic temple you might be a member of or not a member of, what this, what that. I pray that stuff is secondary to the fact that you are a child of God, that God has called out of darkness into the marvelous light, that He picked you up, turned you around, put your feet on solid ground, that you know from whence your help comes, and you are able to keep your eyes looking up to the hills from whence cometh your help, because you know that all of your help comes from the Lord. Not all this other stuff. Jobs come and go, and cars come and go, and clothes wear out. I was playing around with Daniel the other day, and lo and behold, the boy grabbed the back of my pants and ripped my pants all the way down. I wanted to do something, but I couldn't. One of my favorite suits, Deacon Revelle. Just ripped the back all the way down to my leg. Dr. Brown almost called you up, said, I need something to help me out. Suits come and go. I can go get another suit. Can't go get another Daniel. And so then this notion of tradition is powerful. It was no surprise to me that different reactions would come from moving the pulpit, the podium, right? Different reactions would come. And yet how we took this moment to learn from the Word of God is critical to this issue. You know, and part of me and my flesh are saying, no, Lord, I don't want to keep going down this road of tradition. You didn't have me do this, and all kind of interesting responses didn't come, and I got this, that, this coming, and I was going to preach on this. But the Lord said, no, take the moment to further educate, to further push the deeper understanding of this conversation around practices and processes and traditions, to put it in its proper perspective as I have taught you in the Word of God. And so if there's anything I want you to get, is that I don't buck tradition, but I want to make sure all of us don't get caught up in the how, but get caught up in the why. And as we get caught up in the why, we are standing on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, because Jesus taught about tradition. Yeah, He did. And point of fact, in two Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark's Gospel, the text I gave you today, Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 7, the same text is given a different bit of a nuance from the Markian perspective, but the same text and the same rationale and the same Jesus. And the reason why I know tradition is not bad, because even in even in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 2, Paul says these words. He says, I would that you would keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But that same Paul says in Colossians 2:8, don't get caught up in the traditions of man. Uses the same word, doesn't he? But different intent, different meaning, different rationale. So when tradition for tradition's sake, oh, we've always done it that way. And I ask you why you've always done it that way. You don't know why you've always done it that way. You just know it's always been done that way. That's the First Thessalonian translation. I mean, that's the Colossians translation. But the First Thessalonian translation is that which I receive from the Lord. Right? Those things that are anchored and based on God and Jesus. So the question is the tradition anchored in the Lord, and is it based on Jesus, or have we blindly accepted some things because that's just the way it's always been done? And my job is to push the envelope based on the Word of God. And so Jesus says, now listen to what Jesus says. In chapter number 15, they come to him. Now, it is interesting because this isn't the first time Jesus talks about tradition. His disciples were walking and the scripture talks to us about they took ears of corn and they rubbed the ears together. And so there's a conversation about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Right? And so that's one conversation that the Pharisees and the scribes, they came to Jesus, they stepped to Jesus and said, how can you do this on the Sabbath? And Jesus' response was what? Well, was the Sabbath made for man or was the man made for Sabbath? And then he throws it back on them as only Jesus can do. He says, look at your King David, who is also his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. But he said, look at your King David. Since you want to hold on to tradition, understand what David was doing when this happened. But in this text, the scribes and the Pharisees come to Jesus. And they say unto him, yo disciples, yo folk, yo homeboys, those who follow you, they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, if you watching me that close, you got some more time on your hand than you ought to have. And yet, the point wasn't about the act of washing or not washing. The point was about trying to ensnare Jesus in a trap of humanity and their failure to realize that he's divinity. And so it is, Jesus responds to them. Listen to the word. Look at it. It says it right there in the Bible. In verse number three, he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? He throws it right back in their face. For God commanded, saying, honor your mother and father. And I'm not going to, the Lord is not leading me today just to go into this particular commandment right about commandment number 5, honor your mother and father, and what was really going on with the Jews in that day and why they were making loopholes and trying to get out of something that God said. But the point of the matter is, we get the message. The very thing they were trying to ensnare Jesus in was they were also not keeping part of their own tradition. Isn't it irony? Folk who want to mess you up, they want to sweep around your front door, but they got some stuff around their own front door. And so Jesus challenges them around their own keeping of tradition. And he says, you've made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And then he quotes something out of the book of Isaiah, which is powerful. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man. They understand that they're saying one thing, but there's something not right. They're going through the motions, but something just ain't right. Have you ever met some folk you can't put your finger on it? They looked the part, they talked the part, but there's something that ain't in the part. Come on, somebody. They're walking like a Christian. They're dressing like a Christian. They're saying everything a Christian is saying, but something ain't right. I can't put my finger on it. I'm trying to step back and study them, but I trust what my grandmama said. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck. It must be a duck. fuss. A flat commercial, right? Trust. Trust that thing that's inside of you. And then the thing is the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Ghost. That's inside of you. One of my prayers from the time I was a teenager was, Lord, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me discernment, and give me understanding. And I think I can say I've gotten this far, not because of me, because I stayed on my knees and said, Lord, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me discernment, and give me understanding. There's some things I don't know, but if I trust in myself, I'm going to mess up. But if I trust in you, I know you're not going to leave me wrong. You can straighten out crooked places. You can smooth over rough places. The traps the devil has set for me, make them of no consequence. Protect me, God. And so it is. Jesus says a hard saying. This is my second point. Hard. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus don't sugarcoat too much. To his disciples, he challenges them. To the scribes and Pharisees, he challenges them. To the woman that was at the well, he challenged her. Jesus was an equal opportunity challenger. And some of us need to take a lesson from Jesus. Because this is the part I like. The disciples come unto him. Jesus then called these people hypocrites. I can almost see Peter, James. Oh no, Jesus, don't call them hypocrites. We got to get out of here. Don't do that, Lord, please. Jesus stood flat-footed, boldly, saying, you're being hypocritical. Don't take it to its extreme derogatory nature. Take it for what it is. They were being hypocritical. And he says unto them, this hard saying, you say you're with me, but you're not really with me. I discern your spirit. I'm looking at your heart. There's something on the inside there that ain't making a lot of sense. You're saying something, but I'm not picking up the right spirits. He says a hard saying. Jesus called a spade, called it what it was, called the persons out. And sometimes we in the body of Christ have to speak the truth in love. Now, we're not Jesus. Jesus can say whatever Jesus wants to say. But you and I got to speak the truth in love. And even in this conversation, right, I have had enough pastoral sense to understand I need to ask folks for their feedback. I need to sit down and talk with folk and hear them. Had a great session with my deacons on yesterday. I'm going to have another great session with some others of you in other settings about not just the podium and the pulpit. That ain't the issue. Right, because if I want to preach with a podium, right, I can preach with a podium. If I want to preach with a podium, I don't have to preach with a podium. You don't shoot me because I don't want to preach from a podium. That's not the issue, right? That's not the issue. The issue is, where is that thing on the inside? And even me, to be sensitive enough to the fact, right? I don't make a practice of calling folk hypocrites out loud. Out loud. Out loud. Right? But Jesus could do that, because he's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm real clear. I'm not Jesus, y'all. I don't want y'all to be Jesus. I'm not gonna try to make myself Jesus. But I can say what thus saith the Lord. And he said a hard saying. And then this brings me to my last point. Then I'll go to my seat. Peter, James, or the disciples says in verse number 12, they came to him. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Jesus answered and said, every plant which is my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are the blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. I mean, it is what it is. Right? If blind folk leading blind folk, we all not going too far, are we? And I want to be clear not to, make light of, right, the the disability of blindness, but I simply say that Jesus makes a point that is deeper than that. It's about your heart. And it brings me to this last point that he says, and he says it in verse number 8. If you go back to verse number 8, he says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their what? Their heart is far from me. Go down to verse number 16 and 17. He says in 17, do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and it is eliminated? But 18, those things which are proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And Jesus says the real matter here is, where is your heart? If your heart is in the right place, then your traditions will emanate that which you transpray, that which you transdeath, that which you translate, that which you transmit to those who are coming behind you. If your heart is in the right place, then that which you are saying, that which you are doing, we can charge it to my head, but not my heart. I may have made a mistake, but my heart is right. You've heard that saying, haven't you? And if your heart is right, Go to the last screen. The last screen talks out of the book of Proverbs. And it says Proverbs 4 verse number 23. Keep your heart and with all diligence, for out of it, out of the heart, springs the what? The issues of life. And Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is that person. I need folk to get beyond the how and get beyond the externality. Get beyond what's on the outside and start looking at the heart. I told my deacons on yesterday, and you've known me now 12 years. You know my heart. Come on, somebody. And my heart is after God. I'm trying to be a man after God's own heart. I'm trying to stand on the premises of God. I'm trying to stand on the precepts of God. I'm trying to teach the judgments of God. I'm trying to say the commandments of God. I'm trying to stand on the word of God. And if I'm standing on the word, I'd rather stand by myself on the word than stand with a whole bunch of other folk. On man-made traditions. Listen, there's a difference between God, what God wants us to transmit, and what we decide we need to want to transmit. And even in this kind of a dialogue, I'm saying, where's your heart? And so anybody that I engage in this conversation with, I'm looking at their heart. Because Jesus says, don't get caught up in the tradition. Get caught up in the heart. I want to love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with everything that is within me, if my heart is right. Come on, somebody. If your heart is right. You say one thing with your mouth, but your heart is far from me, Jesus says. And so I want to challenge folk that it's really, right, the conversations we are having, the change that may or ensue over weeks, months, years, right, challenge us to go deeper as to the why we do what we do. And understand what Jesus says about man-made traditions. Not to get caught up in man-made traditions. Get caught up in the heart of God. And this is what I love. Paul says in his book of Philippians, what can separate us from the love of God? Neither height, nor depth, nor width, nor things to come, or things that was. Because if
you meditate on whatever is pure, if you meditate on whatever is lovely, if you meditate on whatever is godly, if you meditate on what's in the Word, if you study yourself in the Word, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If I pour myself in the Word, then my heart, if I hide His Word in my heart, that I might not sin against my God. And so it's a heart thing. Amen, somebody? It's a heart thing. Some of us might need a blood transfusion. Others of us might need a heart transplant. And I'm so glad that the Lord came down through 42 generations to give me both a blood transfusion and to give me a heart transplant. Because where I was, I have a different heart today. And I'm covered under the blood of Jesus. And if I've got the blood, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows through the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never, ever lose its power. The blood, it's a heart thing. Where is our hearts as it pertains to God's Word and what God desires for us? In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen, amen, and amen. Everyone standing to their feet. Choir's going to sing, and as they do, we want to invite someone to know Jesus for themselves. Deacons and clergy and deaconess, we invite you to go out into the pews. Invite you to invite somebody, everybody, anybody, to step out on faith. Give God your hand. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Go ahead and sing, choir. As they sing, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I invite you. And if you don't have a church home, I welcome you. Go ahead, step out of your seat. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Let's sing to the glory of God. Is there someone today? Is there someone today?